Well, good morning. My name is Corey Shimoleski. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope, and this is the part of the service where we open up God's Word. And we are hungry people, and God has provided the meal for us to partake, and the hope is that we would be full, satisfied, but tomorrow we'll wake up again hungry. And the desire would be that you'd turn to Jesus on your own or with your small group or with a mentor to continue to feed on Jesus. And what we try to do is just walk through God's word, make some observations, have you leave saying, well, that guy's not that special. Anybody can do that. Yeah, exactly. Like, we want you to learn and to be able to receive from God's table, not become more and more dependent on any one pastor, preacher, teacher, but really to come to God's word hungry every morning and to believe that he can feed you as you learn to walk in him. So I want to begin with a quote from a deeply religious person, a deeply religious theologian who happens to be evil. Darth Vader said, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." Gonna be talking about faith today. Perhaps you didn't realize how faith-filled Lord Vader is, was, still remains. He was a frequent attender of the church, would always follow the religious leaders into service for a time of worship. But this has become a meme in so many different places. I don't know how many of you are big 80s music fans, but there's this comic: "Sorry, Your Excellency, we don't have that George Michael album in stock. I find your lack of faith disturbing." Some of you college students are like, "What happened in the 80s? What? Who's George Michael?" Where are my grammar geeks? You just love it. You just despise when people do not know how to use proper language, grammar. There's etiquette in writing, people. "I find your lack of punctuation disturbing." Do you not know what a semicolon is? Can you just, come on. For me, I saw this one. Deeply resonated with my 13-year-old self. I don't know. I got this thing in me that likes to carry heavy things, to lift heavy things, to only make one trip from the car after grocery shopping. Can I get an amen? Is there a witness in the house? "There are too many grocery bags," your mom or dad might say. "We'll have to take two trips to get them all inside the house." I find your lack of faith disturbing. Like, do you have no belief in my ability? You're just kind of grabbing up all the groceries, you know, walking in, dropping bags. Today we're going to talk about faith. And there are many of you who walk into this room with the mindset that God looks at you and thinks about you and thinks about your faith the way Darth Vader speaks to his admiral. Like, some of you come in this morning, and based on whether you had a good week or a bad week, a week in which you feel like you followed the Lord, and others where you just rambled into the sinfulness, you believe that the Lord looks at you and says, I'm so disappointed. I just find your lack of faith disturbing. And I think what we see in the Bible throughout the entire storyline of Scripture is that it is less and less about the quantity and quality of your individual faith, and it is much more important that the object of our faith is Jesus. That when we turn our eyes in faith, that we turn them to Jesus. That time and again through the Scripture, the quantity and quality, how much faith you have and how pure or righteous or devoted that faith is of secondary importance. What is of primary importance is that we are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is time and time again throughout the Scripture. And today, what we're gonna see, that the object of our faith is far more consequential, far more important, is of primary importance. So we are in the 17th week. I actually looked it up, week 17 of 21. So all we got is May left in the book of Hebrews. And this book study has been looking at the factual truth that Jesus is greater. The book speaks to that reality. The Bible speaks to that reality. As a church, we want to time again, lift up the fact that Jesus is greater. What are you going through? How great is the mountain of struggle that you are seeing day in and day out? Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. What about the needs of our community? Jesus is greater. What about the injustices in our world? Jesus is greater. Time and time again, Jesus is greater. And with that, today I'm titling today's message, Living by Faith, Waiting for Sight. We, day in and day out, live by faith, and we're waiting for sight. And we're gonna see both of those at play in today's passage. We're called to live by faith, trust in, belief in Jesus, while we wait for sight. And friends, one day, faith will give way to sight. Today, we see with the eyes of faith, then we'll actually see him as he truly is. And we will see that again in today's passage. Little outline on today's message, four things, four stops. I know this was like last time I preached. I didn't aim for four. It just happened to be four again, all right? All right, so what are we gonna do? We're gonna read the text. We're gonna read the text. We're gonna read 40 verses, all right? So just prepare yourself, right? Usually aim for about 12 or 14. We're going 40. And here's what you're gonna look for as I read through it, because we're not gonna be able to go back and retrace all of our steps. Well, this is what you're gonna look for. The lighter, the font color, those are gonna be universal statements about faith. So a universal statement would be just trust in Jesus, right? At all times, all places, doesn't matter who you are, trust in Jesus, that's a universal faith statement. Those that are a darker color of font would be singular examples of faith, right? Examples that are unique to those people in the Bible that in all likelihood, God's not gonna ask of you. Right, so one example that I'll throw out there that we'll see is Rahab is commended in her faith. And then if you keep reading, you figure out why she's commended in her faith. She harbored spies. So of all the things that God might call you to, I don't think in your faith relationship with Jesus, it's gonna be, hey, I need you to protect some spies, right? It could happen, but I don't think it's gonna happen, all right? So there will be singular examples where God worked in a specific example, a specific person at a time and place, right? Now, step two of all this is we are gonna look at those universal statements. There's five of them that I saw, okay? We'll look at how faith is described, and then I'll make some broad, general, sweeping comments regarding the singular examples. It's not like we just throw them away. No, I think there are, as I looked and studied all of the different examples, I think we can bring out some helpful pieces for our own faith relationship with Jesus as a community, as individually. And for some of you, this is gonna be really helpful for you. It's gonna dispel maybe some of the mystery of faith for you, and we're gonna try to get as concrete and practical as possible. And we're gonna end by, again, I think that the tone and tenor of the passage points us time and again to Jesus. Even in these smaller examples, even in the examples of faith in the Old Testament, so many times those are the foreshocks, those are the foreshadowing stories of the great earthquake. That is Jesus and his death and resurrection. Okay, so we'll see that in some of the examples. I'll give some more examples as we get there. But ending today, casting our eyes upon Jesus. So with that, let me read our text for today. Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Can you tell that's bolded? That's the first one. All right. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his house in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered his son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have any more time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So that's our text for today. 9 slides. Now, hopefully you picked up on those that were a little bit lighter and darker. Want to go back and review the 5 of lighter font color. What I would say that these are universally applicable throughout time and space. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, when you are. These are things that we can take to heart. So, going back to verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That is not a explicitly Christian faith definition. That speaks of faith, but it speaks of faith generally. You could have this type of faith about other things not involving Christ, not involving spiritual things. So I want to acknowledge that first. But when we speak of utilizing it in a Christian manner, what we're talking about, I think I see some parallels here of confidence with assurance and then hope and what we don't see, right? Hope for and what we don't see. So in regard to confidence and assurance, the Bible speaks often about we giving our full selves to God, not holding anything back. So to put it in like gambling terms, because the church often uses gambling illustrations if you're new to church. But it'd be this idea that you have kind of 20% of your life savings that you're going to put into the Jesus wager. But you have 4 others that you feel like are reasonable bets. Well, life could be about these other things. And so you're going to put 20% in each of those 4 buckets. And your hope is over the span of all 5 of these that one of them's going to work and you'll walk away with something. But as you go all in on Jesus, you risk walking away with nothing if it doesn't turn out to be valid, true. And yet that's actually what Scripture calls for. A confidence, an assurance, a faith, a trust, saying, I'm going all in on you. One theologian put it this way, it is the soul's entirety embracing the revelation of who Jesus is. The soul's entirety, nothing within the soul being held back, in its entirety coming forth and embracing and holding on to Jesus. It is confidence and assurance of that kind, going all in on Jesus that is vital. With regard to the hope for and the not seeing, it's interesting because the people that are lifted up and esteemed for their faith here, us, are similar and dissimilar to them. We're dissimilar in the fact that they were living prior to the time of Christ, looking ahead, anticipating, waiting for a savior, waiting for a deliverer, that God spoke in general terms about one that was to come. And now we live after the cross, can look back and say, oh, God's salvation has come. So they had to express faith in ways that for us, it's like, oh, we don't hope for the cross. We actually see it. It's been established for us, right? So that's a different type of faith than what they were asking and expected of them. But our faith is similar to them because both of us waits a future. Both of us waits a forever city, an eternal day, a day in which faith becomes sight, in which all of the crying, all of the pain, all of the injustice is swallowed up. Like they waited for that, we wait for that. And that's throughout this chapter, we see examples of that. They await a heavenly city in the same way that we do. They awaited a homecoming in the same way that we await that future homecoming. They live by faith, waiting for sight. We live by faith, waiting for sight. So faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So this links faith to God as creator. Do you trust that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe, do you trust the words of Genesis chapter 1, God created all things out of nothing? Do you believe that? Now, how might we want to verify that? Just what's something that we could do to kind of check our hearts on this and see, are we of that mindset? Romans 1:21 says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So I think applied here, it would be to say, do you and I acknowledge God as creator and give thanks to him for his creation? When you see the beautiful images coming back from your friends of the Grand Canyon, of Yellowstone, of Alaska, is your first reaction, well, that sucks, because I'm not there. I want to be there. I'm jealous and envious that they're doing something that I want to be doing. Or could it be, praise God. It's amazing how much variety God has packed into his creation. It's astounding. I'm in awe of God. And I thank you, friend, for bringing that to my attention today. It could be that that's how we approach some of these beautiful images on Instagram, that it might not provoke jealousy and envy, but awe and wonder. Do you thank God for his work of creation of the people around you, in your family, your roommates? Hold on. Your coworkers. Do you thank God for the work of creation in making your coworkers? One more. Do you thank God for his work of creation and how he has made you? In all wisdom, in all love, in all righteousness, in all goodness, God made you. With your talents, with your temperaments, with your thinking, with your emotions, with your physical being, with your spiritual being, with your emotional being, God saw fit in his infinite wisdom to make you, you. Do you thank God for his work in creation? Third example, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Whenever that word is used in scripture, and I'm talking about the word impossible, should cause our ears to perk up. It is impossible to please God. How? Without faith. And in this case, this verse says that he exists. Do you believe that he exists? Do you believe that God is alive, that Jesus is alive, at work in the world, remaining Lord over all? And then secondly, that reality has implications, that he is Lord, that he is God, that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, that changes everything. Yaroslav, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, Yaroslav Pelikan said, if Christ is risen, nothing else matters. If Christ has not risen, nothing else matters. A Scottish minister, shout out to Trike in the back. If these things are true, meaning Jesus' death and resurrection, everything has changed. Everything has changed. Do you believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him? That his living, his existing, his dying, his being raised again has implications for those who seek him. Number four, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Now, people who say such things, what kind of things? People who, and this, you got to go back to verse 13, people who acknowledge that they are strangers and exiles on the earth. People who look at themselves and say, I'm an exile. I'm a stranger in this place. It's that type of person who shows themselves to be looking for a country to come. Not a country that they came from. It's not as Abraham can't go back to where he originated. You can do that. They're speaking of a different country, a different city, a heavenly one, right? The people who view this life as a strange thing, a foreign thing. You try it on as a coat and it just doesn't quite fit. Why? You weren't built for this type of world, a fallen world. You were built for a heavenly world, a pure and perfect world. People of faith live in and amongst this world. We care for our neighbors. We seek justice in the public square. We serve those in need. We pray for those who are hurting. And all the while, as that aroma of Jesus is coming to this world, we still look forward to a true home which awaits us. Finally, fifth, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 40. And since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So, this idea of being made perfect, we looked at it in chapter 10, and this is explicitly about God's work, not ours. It's not as though you and I try to be spiritual enough, try to be good enough, try to be faith-filled enough, where then all of a sudden God will look upon us and designate, you're perfect. That's not what is in view here. What's in view is Jesus in chapter 10, verse 14, for by one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's the perfection that's spoken of here. We don't perfect ourselves. It's not something we do. It's about hiding ourselves in Jesus. And in Jesus, the Father said, in him I am well pleased. So biblically, theologically, we get in Christ. We get covered under that umbrella of God declaring of the Son, in him I am well pleased. My Son, his perfect gift, his perfect sacrifice, his perfect life, his perfect death, his perfect resurrection. You and I in him. That's what's spoken of in regard to this perfection. So, what does faith look like? Those are five examples that I think throughout time and space, universal application that we see in chapter 11. Now, want to move on to observations from those singular examples. Can't go through all of them. You wouldn't want me to. You don't have that much time in your day here. But I want to make some broad sweeping. As I looked at the passage and I considered these examples, I want to share some sweeping deal. Now, here's one thing before I go into that. You are uniquely made by God, and there will be many times in your life where you are called to walk in faith, and it's going to look different from your neighbor. And many times, comparison can happen, and I've heard it said, comparison's the thief of joy, might have been declared by Roosevelt. That's what the internet said this morning, okay? Never is somebody called to walk in faith, okay? And then to compare themselves to their neighbor who's walking a different road of faith. But rather, each of us will, at different times, our journey of faith will look distinct, different from our neighbor. And that's okay. That'll be necessary at points for any number of reasons. And I want to make that clear as we start to look at some of the more the particulars of these examples here. So, got three slides here. Observations regarding faith from the singular examples in our passage. Faith can look like blessing, but faith can look like suffering. Faith can look like blessing. These were some of the examples within our passage today. Faith can look like conquering kingdoms. Blessing, happiness, joy. I mean, like there'd be, like you're conquering kingdoms, okay? Blessing can look like administering justice. That you would be in a place where God gives you opportunity to administer justice. Blessing, faith can look like blessing as though it's gained what was promised. Something's promised to you and you receive it. One more. Faith can look like blessing when it's escaping the edge of the sword. Your life is spared. You were going to lose your life and it's spared. But friends, faith can look like suffering. And it's really important that you hear that because it's becoming less and less known, less and less taught, less and less preached in the West, in America. People are giving themselves to what's called the prosperity gospel, which is there is no suffering. Any suffering must mean you're not living according to God's rules and ways, and something must be wrong with your faith. Faith can look like suffering. Faith will look like suffering at times. And so we at Hope would say it is a warped gospel that we reject when people say faith will never look like suffering. We reject that, friends. Listen to this. If there's no suffering, then there's no cross. If there's no cross, then there's no salvation. And if there's no salvation, there's no hope. Faith can, and faith will look like suffering. Look at these examples. Abel lost his life. Moses was mistreated along with the other people of God. People of faith were tortured, jeered, flogged, imprisoned, stoned, and killed on account of their faith. So we need to lose a warped view of the gospel that says faith will never look like suffering. Friends, faith will look like suffering. We need look no further than Jesus. His suffering. It's not because he did something wrong. It's because he was doing all the things right in obedience to the Father, in glory and honor of God, and for the care and welfare of people and the salvation of people. Over the last year, I renamed my alarm clock. You guys on your phone, you get a chance to put like a title in there when the alarm comes up. For me, the earliest alarm clock is titled, Jesus' Suffering is Everything. Now, part of that is just, it's the earliest alarm clock. So I was just like, oh man, I can wake up. I can get up. This is gonna be okay. But it's also intended to preach the gospel to me from the very first part of my day. My day is starting with that mindset. That's the vision I want to move forward in life. Jesus' suffering is everything for me, for you, for us today. No suffering, no cross. No cross, no salvation. No salvation, no hope. So faith can look like blessing. Faith can look like suffering. Faith can look oddly specific, but faith can look vague and general. Let me give you some examples. Oddly specific. Noah, build that boat in the middle of the desert. And if you read your Old Testament, all those specifications of how it's supposed, and this got to be this long, and this got, oddly, weirdly, wildly specific. Abraham, go to that country. Abraham, take your son up that mountain for a sacrifice. My people, walk around the walls of that city. Should we do it like once or twice or? Seven times, you're gonna walk around the wall. It's like, that's just oddly specific, right? There are times where the Spirit of God will speak to you and you just be like, that's weird, that's just specific, that's wild, huh? Can that be true? Now, I've talked to people, and there are times where I'd say, that's not true. That actually goes against God's word, right? So there are times where people are like oddly specific. If this happens and this happens and that means I'm to do this. And I'm like, no, right? But there are times where it's oddly specific. Believe and trust in the blood of my son for your salvation. Believe in the blood, not any blood, not any shame, the blood of my son, Jesus, who is given for your sins, for forgiveness, mercy, salvation. Specific. Faith can look vague and general. It said this in the passage that we read. In faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. That's it. That's how he's commended. So I just want to publicly say, Drew, Isaac, wherever you are, I bless you. It's just vague and general, like, that's it? That's all you, like, yeah, but he did it in faith. He blessed his two sons. Next line. By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons, so his grandsons, and worshiped. In faith, Jacob blessed each of his grandsons and worshiped. That's all we're given, just general, vague sense of faith, following God, trusting in God. But then it's followed up with, I don't know if you heard this when I read it the first time, an oddly specific piece. Jacob blessed each of his grandsons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Just adds this oddly specific detail. Just like grabbed his staff, got it up there. I mean, that's just not a normal worshiping posture for me. Just like, give me my staff. I'm kind of tired here. Like, just weird examples within the scripture. I think validate the scripture as real. Like, if you're making up a holy book, do you put some of those details? I think you just leave them out. Like, I don't know if that helps our cause, right? One more for us. Faith can look crazy and astounding, even irresponsible at points. But faith can look mundane, boring, and even responsible. The kind of faith that might not get you a lot of likes on social media, because it sounds very mundane, boring, and responsible. Let me give you some examples from our passage. Crazy and astounding. Enoch didn't experience death, scripture says. Sarah had a child after surpassing what was believed the childbearing age. It says the sea opened up and they walked right through it. It says this, faith was the cause that quenched the fury of the flames. And as your pastor, I just feel like it's important to confess, I don't think I have that kind of faith. I think I'd be looking for water. I'd be like, I see flames, I'm gonna get water. I need to find a bucket with water. And it says, faith quenched the fury of the flames. It says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Crazy, astounding, miraculous. But it also sounds very mundane and even responsible. It talks about Abraham living in a tent and doing so with his kids. So just a dad, husband, putting a shelter overhead. That's what faith looked like in that moment. Wandering about in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. Wandering about. That's why I don't get directions, ever. It's biblical to just wander. It's like, why is that in there? He's just traveling. It's just going from place to place. Just sounds very mundane. In faith, he's commended in faith. But for me, what seals this is verse 13. This is kind of, I think, indicative of all the people we've looked at. In faith, it says, they were still living by faith when they died. They're still living by faith when they died. No miraculous deliverance, not raised back to life. They were trusting in God, believing in his existence, believing in his power to save, believing that he will bring them to that heavenly city, that actually faith would become sight. It's very mundane. Day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, for a lifetime of trusting in God and believing on that day that he will deliver us into that life. Some observations regarding faith. Hopefully you're helped, encouraged, seen. Some of you are like, oh, I feel seen by scripture with some of those descriptions. Which brings us to, I think, faith be ultimately being about turning our gaze toward Christ. Too many examples, but I want to just blitz through 11 that quickly. Four shocks in our chapter that speak to Jesus as the earthquake. The blood of Abel cries out. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Enoch is unable to experience death. Jesus is the never dying one. Do you see these Old Testament examples, these examples of faith point to a greater. They are the foreshocks. They're the smaller earthquakes that come before the seismic, life-altering, history-altering earthquake of Jesus. Noah as an heir of righteousness. Jesus ushers in his righteous kingdom. Abraham as a wanderer, as an exile. Jesus recognizing he leaves the glory of the Father's side, comes and lives as an exile amongst us, a foreigner, only to return to the Father. Sarah bringing life when there was no life. That's what God does. He brings life where there was no life. He speaks worlds into existence. He speaks life to the dead heart. Moses in infancy, being spared from death, also receiving disgrace. It says, for the sake of Christ. Moses, thousands of years before Jesus, receiving disgrace for the sake of Christ. Jesus obviously receiving disgrace. The Passover, an application of blood, speaking to the ways by which the destroyer passes over us. Why? Because of Jesus' protection and his blood. God's people being spared and enemies of sin and death and the devil being thwarted. Who makes us perfect? Jesus. Examples within chapter 40 of foreshocks speaking to the great earthquake of Jesus, which is why I want to read the first three verses of chapter 12. We'll spend a little bit more time there next week, but we gotta read this, friends. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Eyes of faith now, eyes of sight later. The pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. With that as a backdrop, let me leave us with this question. Will you fix our eyes on and have faith in Jesus so that we will not grow weary and lose heart? How long? Until faith becomes sight, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. It might be mundane. It might be crazy. It might seem irresponsible. It might feel very vague. It might be oddly specific, right? It might look like blessing, friends. And it might look like suffering. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus time and time again. Let's pray. Jesus, we are living by faith. We are waiting for sight, anticipating sight in your presence. Joy forevermore until that time comes. I pray for the people of Hope Community, for those who have trusted in you, that they would continue to fix their eyes upon you. God, it's so tempting to make this life and this faith about us, the quantity and quality of our faith. Jesus, help us to turn and fix our eyes upon you, the object, the aim, the goal. Your cross, your suffering, your death, your resurrection means everything to us. God, for those who might be listening that do not know you, I pray that these words would come alive, that your salvation would be made more real, more understandable, yes, but their hearts might be moved, that their soul might fully embrace the revelation of Jesus. God, in all these things, we look to you. We ask for your help by your Spirit to make clear, more beautiful, more compelling your gospel. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.